Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Our guest today is Tyler Hadley, the Director of Marketing for DDS Acoustical Specialties, a company that helps people and businesses solve noise problems and improve sound quality in spaces. Tyler is a born and raised native of Western Massachusetts and graduated from Westfield State in 2015 with a bachelor's in mass communication. He is also the co-vice president for the board of directors of the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield. Tyler, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really looking forward to chatting.
Absolutely. Please share more with our audience more about you and what you do.
Sure. So you gave a really good introduction as to like who I am and what I do. So I'm the director of marketing for a company called DDS Acoustical Specialties. And really, like exactly what you said, is we go into spaces and we help people improve the sound quality, whether it's they want to get rid of echo or reverberation, they have privacy issues, or they have noise safety issues. So we really work in a variety of different applications, such as bars and restaurants. I'm sure everyone's been to a bar or restaurant where maybe they have a live band or something, and because of all the reflective surfaces that are there, it's just too loud and you can't have a conversation with the person right across from you at the table, or it's really challenging to do so. We've done work in educational facilities, classrooms, and higher education, libraries, churches, industrial and manufacturing facilities, office spaces. There's really kind of no end to like where noise problems can happen. One of the biggest things too that we've seen that's been kind of interesting is pickleball. The sport of pickleball also kind of has like its own type of noise issues. And we're seeing a lot of pickleball conversions taking place throughout the country. And if they're being built near residential areas, that poses a noise problem. So there's all types of applications that kind of goes into the sound industry.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially pickleball, because over the past few years, I feel like since COVID, that sport has just like skyrocketed and it's become so popular. So that's interesting how with your company, you're kind of being able to leverage that and take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. And noise certainly isn't something that a lot of people really think about until it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And nobody really knows who to call. I mean, we, our company started in 2019. So we're a fairly new company. The owners have over 30 years of experience in the noise control industry, working kind of the manufacturing side of things. Mm-hmm. So they know all the players, they've seen all the products, and there wasn't a company here in the Northeast that really kind of worked directly with the customers to come up with a solution, give them all the options, work with their budgets and say, here is how you can solve this problem.
Yeah, so that's interesting how just finding a problem, being able to supply a solution that many other organizations really haven't been able to do in this part of the country, at least.
Yeah, definitely. It's been really exciting. I love talking about it because it's just one of those things that go into all these networking events and things like that. People say like, wow, I didn't know somebody did that.
It's almost like it's one of those things I feel like where once you actually experience that problem and have it, you're like, oh, I wish there was a way that I could reduce this noise or be able to kind of make sure that things is an echo or anything like that.
Right, exactly.
And with your company, do you do residential stuff too? Like if someone has a home theater or anything like that, do you work with residential clients or is it mainly just commercial?
It is primarily commercial. There are some residential applications that we get involved in. If it's a smaller residential, like if it's an apartment building or a single family home that says, hey, I have a lot of traffic noise, what can I do? We'll typically give them some options in regards to what products they can use to help them support solving that type of issue. But when it comes to like installation services, we generally don't get too involved with residential applications. Sometimes we'll work with a contractor or somebody who's working with a homeowner, landlord, or someone who's developing like multifamily residential and things like that. And we're really kind of the acoustic material experts in those type of situations. We'll definitely supply the product that will solve any issues that they're facing or trying to mitigate.
Interesting. And you said that the company was started in 2019. So I'd love to hear your personal career experience of where you were before joining DDS and what led you to pursuing this path as a director of marketing.
Sure. So prior to coming on with DDS Acoustical Specialties, I was still doing work in the marketing field. I was actually working for some nonprofit organizations here in Western Massachusetts. Providing services that helped programs reach out to clients throughout the Hamden and Hampshire counties, making sure that I supported fundraising efforts and things like that. That's also when I kind of got involved with the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield, which is a great organization that helps young professionals meet one another, network, connect, and collaborate. So that's been really impactful to really help them in kind of the marketing and advertising and communications realm. Yeah, pretty much like ever since I got out of college at Westfield State University, I've just kind of hit the ground running, learning as much as I can additionally. I actually come from more of a video production and media broadcast background coming out of college. And that just sort of transitioned myself into a marketing position, just because marketing is such a broad area, whether it's digital marketing, print, advertising, video, photo. I mean, there's just like so many different assets and areas that you can get involved in. So trying just to leverage all of that experience and in the fields that I get involved with in the organizations that I'm trying to support.
Absolutely. So as a director of marketing, walk us through what your typical day might look like in terms of projects that you're working on or initiatives that you like to pursue or really anything that you do in the marketing realm for DDS.
Yeah. So, I mean, because we are a small business, I mean, a lot of us are wearing a lot of hats. So in the marketing realm here, I mean, I'm constantly trying to come up with strategies and implementing strategies that are working to build our business partnerships. So whether that means trying to schedule some meetings with architects, engineers, and other folks that we might be able to partner up with who are also working with some of the clients that we're trying to reach is just like one piece of it. Also developing some collateral materials, so like flyers, brochures, and pieces that will help us sell and promote our products. Really working on like the educational pieces to let people know that like, hey, we are the experts when it comes to noise and in the sound industry. Because we want to be, education is oftentimes like the number one thing that people are asking us about, and that we kind of have learned, we've figured out to understand that if we are able to educate our customers more on kind of like some of the science behind like why this works and why these materials work, is really important, because that's oftentimes where a lot of people get into trouble is they see an ad or something online and they think, I can just put this on the wall, it's going to solve all my problems. And in most cases, it typically doesn't.
Yeah. And I like that you had mentioned that about educating people, of just understanding everything that goes into why they might need something like this. So do you create certain types of educational content, whether it's videos or blog posts or anything like that, to support your customers or really help to explain the value of your company?
Yeah, we're constantly thinking of new ways that we can create these types of pieces. We have some like educational blog posts on our website that people can certainly go and use. Would love to start creating some video content. And I mean, that's definitely one of my plans for 2023 is start producing some content that really focuses on some of the key aspects of noise control and some of the questions that we get a lot. And I think because we are still a fairly new company, and I started with the company just a little over a year ago, we're just kind of realizing what some of those questions are and like really how to target folks and answer those hard-hitting questions.
Absolutely. And being in marketing myself, this is something that I always love asking other marketers. I guess it's actually two questions, but could fall under one. One, how do you, in your field, stay on top of all of the new changes that are happening or trends that are popping up? And two, with a career like marketing that involves so much creativity and brain power, how do you, like, what are your strategies, your tips for being able to be creative all the time and come up with new ideas rather than kind of resorting to the things that you've been doing or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone that I've talked to, whether it's through my full-time position with DDS Acoustical or with like the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield, I'm always trying to encourage the people that I'm working with, and also trying to take my advice to just try something new. I feel like a lot of people kind of consider marketing as throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks, and then optimize it.
Yeah, pretty much. This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com.
So that's what I'm always trying to do. So keeping in touch with kind of what the latest industry trends are, things like ChatGPT or something like that, for example. How can that new technology be used to help benefit our current practices and procedures? And there's a lot of controversy around some things like that too. So I mean, really kind of figuring out what makes the most sense. And for me, like as a small kind of like one man show, for a marketing department, I mean, it's really trying to figure out how I can leverage those tools and technologies to get the best bang for my buck. And sometimes it is a balancing act, and sometimes you have to prioritize things, some things over others.
Absolutely. And being a one-person department, what's your advice or tips for how you manage being able to do all of these different things at once and make sure that you're not devoting too much time to one marketing initiative and then not enough time to another, and just kind of equally spreading ultimately all the time that you have across all of the different outlets?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of comes down to strategic planning, really working with the business and what are the business objectives for a fiscal year or a calendar year. What type of target audience are we trying to reach more of? And that just kind of funnels into what that year's marketing plan is, and kind of like where we want to focus, whether it's branding or strategic partnerships or things like that. And again, it just comes down to prioritizing, like what do we want to do? Are we and how we're going to implement it? Are we doing this by doing some cold calls? Are we sending emails? Are we going to trade shows and events? And then there's just a lot of ways that we can achieve some of these goals. But it's only practical for a one-man show to do so much in a given time period. So prioritization is really a big thing. And I always just love getting things like down on paper and kind of going over some pros and cons and what are the outcomes going to be, and how much is it going to cost, and figuring all that out. 'Cause I mean, budget's always like the big number one thing, is like, how can we do this within a given budget?
Right. And it's interesting that you brought up cold calling, because that's something that I was just chatting with another marketing professional about the other day, and how some people are starting to dive more into that. So since you brought it up, I'd love to hear if you've done it, if you've had a good experience with it, and anything you might recommend based on your experience and overall approach to it.
Yeah, I mean, especially as we're like finally getting out of all the COVID stuff that's been going on, and people are getting out to shows and kind of more more willing to meet up in person and things like that. I think cold calling is certainly kind of a one way that you can get in touch with people pretty easily. Again, it's kind of more of a quantity based game, where if you have 1,000 people that you're cold calling, you're kind of probably hoping that maybe you'll get like 10% of them to actually reach out and convert to whatever result that you're trying to achieve. I think it's a good piece of the overall strategy if you are able to dedicate the time to it. But in a lot of cases, I totally understand that people may very well think of it as I don't want to say waste of time, but not efficient to spend time doing something like that versus other strategies. I myself am very much a digital person. I love working on like Google, Microsoft, PPC, doing SEO work for the website and really kind of trying to optimize that type of thing. But again, at the same time, trying to figure out what are these other avenues that we can potentially reach people. It's a conversation that we're constantly having. It's like, do we go out? Do we buy a list? Do we get 1,000 contacts, and do we start just calling people and asking them the questions as to see if they want this type of service?
And it's almost like the idea of if you don't ask, the answer is always no. Sometimes I feel like I have to remind myself of that, where I might feel a little bit hesitant to be a little bit more salesy, but just remembering that doing something like that, you might end up finding a right group of people who's moving forward with it. So I think it's great that it's something that you've incorporated and started to put time into.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just a matter of kind of like getting people to realize that exactly what you said, like if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no, because you just never know. And if you do ask, the worst thing they can say is no, then okay, see you later.
Pretty much. So with DDS Acoustical Specialties, do you primarily focus on serving Massachusetts or New England, across the country? Like, what would you say the geographic span is?
Yeah, so right now we are serving the entire northeast of the country, really. We've done a lot of work throughout Massachusetts. We've done work in Vermont, Rhode Island, New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey. So we've definitely been hitting pretty much all of the northeast states. And really, those are the states that we provide installation services to. So we provide the solution, the product, the installation, a full turnkey, so that people can get everything into their space that they need to. But we do also work with customers all over the country who have reached out to us, and they are just looking for a solution. And although we may not travel all the way to California in order to do an installation or something like that, we can certainly provide the product, the recommendations, and the instructions for how it should be installed. And that may change in the future too, as we continue to grow.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask if you know if there's, from what you could share, any plans to potentially open locations in different areas around the region or across the country because of the width that you're getting ultimately of people that are finding you from all these different locations.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the big picture goal, potentially, is like, where else can DDS Acoustical Specialties exist, and how might that work? So I mean, that's definitely a big goal that we have.
Absolutely. And with many of our listeners being businesses, so in the business to business space, could you share more about your company's process of working with businesses and commercial clients who would be looking for services like yours, and just kind of walk us through what that process might look like from initially reaching out to actually working with you?
Sure. So to start off the process, I mean, typically people are either calling us or filling out an inquiry form on our website. Once we receive that inquiry form, we'll follow back up with them. We'll typically have questions around the space that they're looking to treat and where the noise problem is. So for most commercial spaces, we're looking for the dimensions of the room, length, width, height, as well as what the construction materials are. So what's the floor made out of? What are the walls and ceiling made out of? And we have a calculation that we use that determines the reverberation time. It's called an RT60 calculation. And using the dimensions of the room and the construction materials, we're able to calculate what the existing reverberation time is. And for most spaces that are having issues, they're typically in a range of anywhere like above like 4 seconds, where a comfortable range is around like 1 second, depending on the space. Certain spaces are less typical. So if it's like a performance space or something like that, you kind of want to treat that in a way that optimizes the acoustics for performances. But once we do that calculation, we're also able to plug in all of our products that we use to determine how much of this product do we need to actually get down to that desired reverberation time, that 1 second. And that's really to reduce echo, to make it a really good environment for speech intelligibility and things like that. Kind of on the flip side of things, we also do calculations in regards to blocking noise. So we have a number of different products. If there's privacy issues in some of these spaces, once we get some additional information, if we were able to schedule a site visit and see the space, then we can kind of understand where are the leaks within the two areas, like where is the noise getting through? And we use a number of different products that have it's a sound transmission class, which is an STC rating, which determines how much blocking power a material has. So we use a lot of those products either in the ceilings to really beef up the walls, things like that. We do a lot of work on doors. Doors are oftentimes a culprit for noise escaping into other spaces. And we talk to people about kind of what the general rules of thumb for noise control is. A couple being that any kind of air gap between spaces is an opportunity for noise to get through, because noise is like water. If it's going to travel through the path of least resistance. So one of our objectives is always to seal as many of those air gaps as possible if we're trying to block noise. And then the more mass something has, the heavier something is, the more noise it's going to block. So we know a lot about what existing wall partitions and construction materials have for noise blocking, as well as sound absorption. So we just use that to really formulate a solution and determine what additional products are needed in those spaces. Once we kind of have a general idea, and if someone decides that they want to move forward and work with us, lead times for products generally range between, for architectural products, generally within like 4 to 5 weeks to produce. And we work with a number of different product manufacturers, some local and some in other areas of the country that provide all these different types of products. For some of these more like industrial products, it could be a little bit longer lead time. But then as soon as we have the products, we generally schedule installation like a week or two out, as soon as we can possibly get in there. And if anything goes wrong, down the line, say if a panel fell off a wall or something like that, I mean, customers are always able to contact us. We can get a replacement panel pretty quick. And that's bottom line what our objective is. I mean, we want to be quick, we want to be responsive, and we want to make sure that the customers are happy and that we come up with a solution.
Absolutely. It's so interesting just hearing about all of the ways that you're able to support your customers and your clients with what you provide. And I have a few questions based on what you shared, with one being, does the environment of this space affect the materials that you might use? Like, for example, a city where there's a ton of traffic and cars and horns and stuff like that, could that potentially be different from the noise that might be coming from like a restaurant? I guess it probably has to do with that reverberation time you were talking about, but does that come into play with just the surrounding areas of where you are?
Yeah, so I mean, it can be a combination of things that a space might be experiencing. So the car noise and traffic and things like that that you mentioned. So that would be a transmission issue. So they don't have enough mass that's blocking this that outdoor noise coming inside the space. So we would need to address that. At the same time, that same space could also have a reverberation issue where if they have a wall full of windows and then they have like a metal ceiling and drywall and a wood floor, then they would probably also need to introduce some absorptive material. And that's one thing that people kind of get confused about too, is the difference between some of this absorptive material and material that blocks noise. People sometimes think if they put an absorption panel on the wall, that's going to block sound coming into the space, where and the reality is that it does nothing in regards to sound blocking, or at least very, very, very little. So that's just another piece of that kind of like education that we are trying to provide to people. So it certainly does depend on kind of like what the environment is. Certain places that are made of different construction materials are going to be more reverberant. There's all kinds of acoustic products out there that fit various different aesthetics and budgets. I mean, that's kind of the big questions that we get from people is, oh, I don't want to put anything on the ceiling, or I don't want to put anything on the walls. It's like, okay, so the compromise is that we're going to put something in one of these other places. And here are your options. We have products that are fabric wrapped. We have like foam products. We have products that have a wood veneer. So if somebody wants that like wood look to it, there's the PET and felt products that a lot of like architects and interior designers love, can be cut into all different shapes, sizes, and things like that. And because we have these relationships with the manufacturers, we can get really creative and custom with all these products. So if people have ideas that they say like, oh, I want to make these shapes in the form of our logo or something like that, it's like, okay, we can do something like that. And we'll just have to kind of like splice some pieces together to form a logo or a design or something like that. So, it's really kind of just to the limit of the imagination and to whatever the customer's budget might be.
Yeah. And it's really cool that there's that aesthetic component to it as well, where it's like people might be worried about having some huge, not so great looking box thing that might be on their wall or floor or whatever it might be. Instead, they can really customize it to not necessarily blend in, but more so not be so obtrusive in their overall building or whatever their location might be.
Right, exactly. And that's the options that we give to people, is they can use the acoustics to be part of the design and aesthetic. They can use it as something that really pops out, or if they just want it to be very inconspicuous and blend in, I mean, there's products for that as well. So that's always the options that we give to people.
Yeah, very nice. The other question that I had for you, I guess maybe not a question, but a statement, is that I can imagine with the privacy issues that you support, I imagine that you might work with a lot of companies that need to be HIPAA compliant, such as like doctor's offices or things like that.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of times it comes down to the building construction that some of these companies have been going into. I mean, we've had some doctor's offices where, yeah, you can kind of hear some murmurs like between room, like client rooms and things like that. And one thing that we see happening a lot in those types of environments is, you know, those like drop ceiling grids that have like the ceiling tiles and everything in them. So a lot of times the walls that are going up to those ceiling grid systems don't actually go all the way up to the roof decking, but instead that ceiling grid is just over multiple rooms. And that causes an issue because noise can travel through those ceiling tiles and over into other rooms that are connected. So we have products that go over the tops of those ceiling tiles, and it blocks a lot, like a ton of noise. And we've actually done a number of projects using those types of products. just because people have no idea like where the noise is coming from. It's like, well, it's going through your ceiling into the other space.
Yeah. And that's interesting too. I mean, with just making sure that medical offices and other places that need to be HIPAA compliant would be able to work with you on something like that. I think that's a huge opportunity for them of just being able to get the right materials and be able to solve that issue.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We're always more than happy to work with those types of businesses.
Yeah. Awesome. And being out in Western Massachusetts, what would you say your favorite local businesses to support?
I love going to breweries. Great Awakening out over in Westfield is kind of like right in our backyard from our office. Love to check them out. We had a local cookie shop open up in town. The name is escaping me right now, but they're great. They're just like one of those places where kind of they're sold out by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and they open at 11 kind of thing. And but some of those, Tin Bridge Brewing is kind of like right next door to us too. They've been around for a little while. And so yeah, I mean, support your local breweries and go hang out with them.
Yeah. Very fun. And now I'd love to talk a little bit more about the work that you do for the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield. So feel free to share with our listeners what you do as the co-vice president of the board, like how you got involved with the organization and all of that fun stuff.
Sure thing. So I got involved with the Young Professional Society of Greater Springfield like a year and a half ago, and really just wanted to see what else they could do. At the time, I hadn't been to too many events, but it was really interesting to see kind of what they were doing. And it took some time to kind of really kind of understand the culture of the organization and kind of how things are going. And now we've really gotten to a point where we have a lot of fresh new faces on the board of directors. And it's an entirely volunteer run organization, which a lot of people may not know. So on top of everyone's full-time jobs that they're doing, they're also kind of working to promote these events and do the marketing, run the website, manage the member database and all that type of stuff. And we're constantly thinking of efforts that we can, how can we be more inclusive? How can we be a more diverse organization? And really looking forward to some of these like upcoming partnerships that we have developing in order to get more people involved. So really what the organization is aiming to do is to empower young professionals within the greater Springfield area, help them network and connect and collaborate with one another. And we have people coming to us who are looking to make new friends, looking for business opportunities, looking for professional development. And so we're really working with our members to help provide that, and working with our business members to help promote what they have going on. And so there's sponsorship opportunities, there's events every single month. We have a golf tournament coming up in May. So there's certainly no lack of opportunities to get involved. And at the same time, we're also looking to build out some of our planning committees. So if folks are in the area and interested in getting involved, they can certainly email us on our website if they are looking for something to get involved with.
Yeah, absolutely. And ironically, I'm a board member of the South Shore Young Professionals. So it's like, those are great organizations to be a part of for people who might be, I don't want to necessarily say newer in their careers, but still kind of like working their way through their positions and just wanting to build their connections and all of that fun stuff. I mean, I love networking events, and I feel like that's one of the best benefits of joining an organization like that is just meeting new people that you might not have met otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have to say, like, I was never really one to be all that into like networking events. And just like over the years, I've become sort of just like, I don't know, social butterfly and trying to like meet people that way. And I've really enjoyed it as well. And it's really great to see and trying to create more opportunities for people who also are kind of a little bit more introverted to have the opportunities to to network. So being able to provide some, again, back to the education thing about like how to best network, how to collaborate with people. And I mean, some ideas that we're kind of that we have going on right now is like, oh, maybe we should do a board game night, or we'll do like a mini golf tournament or something like that. And like, just trying to engage people who may not typically want or be able to get out to those typical evening networking nights.
Yeah. And especially just doing something different. That's one thing that I feel like our organization always tends to lean to is just like, oh, we'll go to a bar, we'll go to a brewery. And it's just nice to have those like fresh ideas of things to do. So I love that idea of doing like a board game night or a mini golf tournament.
Yes. Yeah. We would love to do it. And yeah, if there's anything that comes up that you folks would be interested in partnering in, maybe there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, you never know. Tyler, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed learning more about your career and all that you do for DDS Acoustical Specialties. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure thing. So I would just say check out our website, www.ddsacoustical.com. You can find my email address and contact information on our about page there. My email address is thadley@ddsacoustical.com. And you can reach me at 413-248-8118. And if anybody has any questions about anything acoustics, feel free to reach out.
Perfect. And I will link to all of those in the show notes. That way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thanks so much again for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.